It's Turi Ryder on 720 WGN.
So we have Dr. Jim Ware joining us, and he is the founder and CEO of a company called Future of Work Unlimited. And he's done some interesting research and put together some really interesting data about whether or not people do a better job if they are tied to their office, can roam freely, can sometimes be one place or the other. And since this Marissa Mayer piece just really just burned me up, I thought, okay, maybe I'm being unfair. Perhaps you are sitting listening to me and thinking to yourself, this is ridiculous. I got a company to run. I can't have the employees just all over the place. It'd be nice if they could just, you know, some employees I'd probably like to not have to see for the week, but, you know, they got to show up. And who are these people just arbitrarily deciding they can stay home? Well, it doesn't quite work like that. So we're asking Dr. Ware to give us some of the actual hard data about what happens in a company when people work outside the office, work from home, some combination. Dr. Ware, thanks so much for joining us on 720 WGN.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Turi. It's a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, too. So you did a very interesting piece of research called Mobile Workforce, I believe was the name of it, the Mobile Workforce Survey.
Yeah, a colleague and I conducted the survey about 6 months ago. We were really looking at it from the individual mobile worker up, and not from the CEO or C-suite down. But we just really wanted to get a handle on what people are currently doing. How are they actually working? Where are they working? How much time are they spending in different places? And what is their relationship with their organization?
So what'd you find out?
Well, the first thing is, I really want to stress, we called it mobile work, and we focus on people who are moving around. This is not just about people who are working from home 4 or 5 days a week. In fact, right. I really don't believe in that. It's the mobility and the flexibility for people to choose where and when to get their work done, the place that's best for them on a given day or given even a given hour. And again, what we found was that mobile work is clearly the new normal, if I could use that phrase. People are working in many different places. They're using a lot of collaborative technology to stay connected with each other and with their employer, with their manager, and they're comfortable with that. It's tempting to say that's particularly true for younger generation, 20 and 30-somethings, but I actually think it cuts across just about all age groups.
Yeah, based on what I've observed, I would have to say you're right about that. I've seen people far older than I who are out and about. I was at a school basketball game today, and a guy I know who runs a big real estate company was there. He was watching his kid play, and during the intervals, he was checking his work phone and his handheld device. He had two devices, and he was working with both of them. And I'm pretty sure that he was being pretty efficient about it. So, and he's older than I am. So
I'm sure he was
older than I am, or being efficient.
We all know that it can also be overdone in terms of, you know, taking calls or texting during dinner or something with your family. I'm not advocating anything like that.
Well, no, you have to. I said it was in the intervals, and it really was. Yeah. I mean, he was watching the game when he was watching the game. You said something interesting, that you're not an advocate of people working from home 5 days a week. And that would be if they work for a company, if they work for themselves, if they work for a mid-sized company. Could you clarify what you mean by that?
In general, I was thinking of corporate employees. There are a lot of small business people. I'm one of them, actually, who spends most of my time in a home office when I'm not visiting a client site or speaking at a conference or something. But that's my base. For a corporation where there are employees, I think it's important. It really continues to be important for people to be together face-to-face at least a day or two a week. And I all of the companies I've worked with, I have not been promoting and have not seen many examples of people who are working remotely full-time. There are some jobs where, for example, a customer service representative or a tech support person who's on the phone all day, it seems to me, highly wasteful for society as well as for the individual, for them to, you know, to get in a car or get on a commuter train for 45 minutes or an hour, hour and a half, just to sit and use a telephone all day when they can.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, we want you to use our phone in our office. So if you had been handling this Yahoo business, and you and if Ms. Mayer had asked you, what would you have said if she'd come to you and said, you know, I got all these employees, they're out in heaven knows where, I don't know what they're doing, I don't know if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, I have no idea if they're creating value for the company or participating in decisions, and I'm just fed up with it, I'm sick to death of it, what would you have said to her?
Well, I think I would have said you've got a management system problem, to be perfectly honest. One of the roles that I play in working with clients who are exploring these kinds of things is really to emphasize the importance of having really good measurement systems and of training managers so they know how to reach out, how to pull people together virtually, let alone face to face, and stay connected with their staff. If the problem, and I don't know Yahoo, and I don't want to claim that I have any insights there, if the problem is that they don't know what people are doing, that's as much a management problem as it is an individual problem or a workforce mobility problem, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable. And listening to you speak, it put me in mind of something else that you see sometimes, which is, if you have people working remotely, and in your study, you described several different kinds of situations of remote people who are, you know, are based at the company, out in the field, people who are out in the field most of the time, people who work. So there are a lot of different ways of doing this. But one of the things that I think management does that kind of screws things up for people who don't come in that often is they feel, because they never see you, that anytime they even think of asking you a question, it's perfectly all right to phone you or text you or email you 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And why the heck don't you answer them? Aren't you just some little genie in a box that they can call on anytime they want their questions answered? And it's the darndest thing. I mean, they don't think you're a real person, and that may be the flip side of not being seen enough.
You're right. And actually, people who are out of the office a lot worry about that. They worry about not being seen and do worry some about career paths and that sort of thing. But quite frankly, Tori, the more common comment or concern that we hear is, how do I know they're working if I can't see them? To which sometimes I, when I'm feeling a little flip, I'll say, well, how do you know they're working when you can see them?
That's what I was going to say. I'm glad you said it.
One of the challenges with the kind of work that so many of us do today is it's knowledge work. It involves either talking to other people or working on the computer, doing research, reading, writing. And it's hard to tell by looking at someone. It's not like they're on an assembly line where you can see their hands moving and they're actually producing something. So yeah. It's a lot tougher to manage now than it used to be. There's no question about that.
Well, I will tell you my favorite story of the day. I have a friend who's a genius engineer. He's probably listening. I won't give his name for an obvious reason. I've been having a huge problem with my computer lately. And this guy's, you know, he has his own company. He's run companies. He's worked for companies. He was an early employee at Apple. He's all right. He can do whatever he wants. And he was helping me with something, and he was out of ideas. And he said, well, you know, I always get my best ideas in the bathroom, so I'll talk to you a little bit later on. He calls me up and he says, yeah, I was in the bathroom and I thought of an idea to fix your problem. And I'm just thinking, you know, if this woman really wants people to do their best work, I do a lot of really great thinking in the shower. If I were working for Yahoo, I'd say, great, you want me to come in and have good ideas? Build me a hot shower. And I'll be in there every day thinking for you. So you have to, if you are in a business that lives on creativity, you have to be prepared for creative people to create wherever and however they create. And the best bosses who really want to encourage people to be creative will meet you wherever you need to be creative.
I would basically agree with you. It's not something that you can schedule, and different people have different styles. Part of what makes this whole conversation so difficult is that it is so complex. It depends very much on what kind of tasks people are doing. And some people spend most of their time doing individual work, whether they're writing code or writing copy or whatever, or researching and writing. Others spend far more time collaboratively interacting in meetings and brainstorming with people. And I still, I'm enough of a traditionalist to believe that there is still some real power in being in the same room together and being around a table.
Okay, so hold that thought.
Each other at lunch and dinner too.
Hold that thought, because I'm going to ask you how companies can get people to collaborate, even though they're off on their own a lot of the time, in just a moment. If you would be so kind, just hang on. Dr. Jim Ware, whose company assesses how people work best and where they work and how they use their office time and away time, among other things, is going to address that. How do you get the team spirit if the team is dispersed? Hi, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thank you.
So tell me, if you want to have a team working together, how do you get a team to work together? How much time is ideal, and where should it be, and how should companies do this? And what if somebody is sent off to the hinterlands to do his or her work and misses the team? Then what?
Well, like most of these things, the answers aren't simple. But managing a good team and getting people working well together is both a science and an art. I think whether the team is largely distributed or whether everybody's in the office every day. Interestingly enough, there's some research I didn't do, but I'm aware of, that was done several years ago, that teams, product development teams or whatever task, who are all physically based in the same building, meet as a team with everybody in the room together only about 20% more than people who are spread out all over the country meet face-to-face.
You know what? I have a theory about why that would be. You know why? Because creative people get on each other's nerves after a while.
Excuse me. I think there's something to that. Any job involves a lot of individual work. People get assignments. They go off. They come back. They share it. Technology today lets a lot of that happen virtually in a distributed manner, but it requires some very careful and thoughtful management. One of the things we encourage managers to do is spend time on every conference call just checking in with people about their personal lives and having a conversation as if it's the equivalent of people gathering in a conference room for the 5 or 10 minutes before the meeting gets started. You know, reach out, spend time on that, know what people's lives are like, and pull them in a personal and social way as well as a task way.
See, so, I would have to say that's risky, because maybe Jim told Bob about your father is not doing so well, but maybe the other people on the conference call you'd rather not have known
sure.
about
I,
that.
And I so, think just like in any other situation,
but you
a
can't read the
bring
you,
that up.
You can't unless, read the facial expression on the conference call. I happen to think the conference call is probably the worst invention on God's green earth. I hate the conference call. The conference call is just a bunch of people sitting around and, you know, figuring out what else they have to do that day. And there's
And we all know that most of us multitask during calls. We're checking email. We're doing other things.
Great opportunity to do your nails. The conference call is perfect for doing your nails. That's a perfect
one of the one of the things that I'm a big advocate of, and it's increasingly common, but nowhere near as common as it should be today, is using video.
You can't do your nails. No.
Well, it makes it more like being in a room together. That's the reason I'm advocating.
I suppose that's true.
It does give you some of the facial expression stuff.
Okay, now I have to ask you truth now. What is the least businessy thing you've ever done during a conference call?
Oh, boy, I'd have to think about that one for a minute. I'm not sure I'd want to talk about it publicly.
Aha! You can use vague language to give us the general idea.
Oh, it's probably along the lines of, you know, not doing my nails the way a woman would do them, but you know, I don't
trimming
know.
Trimming your calluses? Hands. You're sitting there trimming your calluses during the conference call? Yeah. I groomed my dog during a conference call.
I've taken a few calls while I was walking the dog. I mean, you know, ultimate mobility. But those are not the central ones. And clearly when people are doing that, they're not focused on the task. And that's why I really do believe that any team, even if it's widely distributed across the country or even across the ocean needs to physically be together at least once every 4 to 6 months. Those are situations, the really distributed teams, where you can't bring people together on a weekly or a daily basis. And companies sometimes choose, because of the talent they're trying to attract or the nature of the task, to assemble a team like that. But that's a lot different than an intact team where everybody's in the office all the time.
Yeah. So as a final shot over the bow at Yahoo, you would say there are a lot of ways. I'm putting words in your mouth now. I know this, but I would guess that you would stand behind the statement that there are a lot of ways Ms. Mayer could have gotten teamwork out of people, other than necessarily yes. ordering them all to show up 5 days a week.
I really do believe that. One of the things I'm fond of saying, Turi, is that it used to be we all had to go to the office because we didn't have these technologies. If we wanted to see people or access our paper files, we had to be in the office. We don't have to anymore in the same way. But what's happened is that the office is now kind of operating in a free market where people are making choices.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important, and Marissa Mayer should have known this, and maybe she does. Companies like Google and Facebook and Apple, all very successful high-technology companies, they want people in the office more often than not. But what they've done is create an office work environment where people want to be there.
That is genius. That's absolutely true. And I'm going to thank you for being with us tonight. That is a great gift you've given us, the gift of your insight and your talent, and I hope you'll come back one other time.
I would love it, Turi. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a big and a complex but a very exciting topic as we move forward towards the future.
It's true. Thank you. Yes, it's true what Jim says. It's absolutely true the companies that are doing well, they make you want to be there. I happen to know Facebook's down the hill from my house. They've got gourmet food. They've got massages. They've got, I think they got acupuncture in there. They got everything but, your own rock band. Let's go to Sandy. Can I just check in with Sandy here? I think I have a moment. Sandy, welcome. You're on 720 WGN. Hello. Oh, I've got to push this other button. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi.
You got me?
I do. I've got you. You're
okay.
All mine.
Good. Good. I'm a computer contractor. I do projects for companies all across the United States. I have clients I've never met. I have clients that I've spent 2 or 3 days with, and I do then all the rest of my work from an office here in Chicago, whether the client happens to be in California or Minnesota or Columbus, Ohio. And it works sometimes, but not always.
Good point.
It depends very much on the project and the kind of work they're expecting you to do. And then you throw in the additional little twist, I guess you would call it. I did a project last year where not only was I in Chicago, a client was in Ohio, but the entire rest of the team with whom I was coordinating were based in India.
Oh, boy.
And so the trying to organize time and to have clarity, it was a bit of a struggle. It was quite a bit of a struggle. But sometimes it works beautifully.
Yeah. So if you had a piece of advice for Ms. Mayer, who is trying to rescue Yahoo, what would you say about ordering your employees to show up with their butts in their little Aeron chairs on Monday morning? Actually, she's giving them until June.
A little bit toward what Mr. Ware was saying, Dr. Ware, excuse me, it depends so much on the actual work assignment of the people. In the world of software development, if you are a team and you've been charged with producing a product, then having everybody together in the room talking about it, working on it, can make a lot of sense. If people have very discrete pieces of work they have to complete, it doesn't make a darn bit of difference where they're doing it.
I often
find that when I'm not working, even in my office, sometimes I'll do the work from my home office. I'll work twice as much. I lose track of the time.
Yes, it's true. It's absolutely true. I thank you. I'm going to have to say goodnight. I appreciate your calling. 720 WGN.
You're listening to Terry Ryder on 720 WGN.